Welcome to the Alaska Uncovered podcast with me, your host, Jenny Twing Flaming. I bring you accurate, helpful, and entertaining information about Alaska travel and life in Alaska. My occasional co-host and full-time husband, Jay, and I are committed to keeping the Alaska Uncovered podcast ad-free. To do that, we need your help. If you're enjoying the podcast, we invite you to contribute to our tip jar, which is the first link in the show notes. We are so grateful for our listeners, and we wouldn't be here without you. Thank you, and enjoy the show. Are you looking to get out hiking on a glacier on your trip to Alaska? That's what we're talking about today. My guest today is Steve Busby. Steve is the founder of Greatland Adventures, an Alaska adventure tour company taking guests on small group tours all over Alaska for all types of adventures, including both summer and winter tours from Anchorage to explore Matanuska Glacier, which is what we're going to talk about today. A lifelong outdoor adventurer, Steve's long experience as a small group adventure guide makes every tour he and his team lead fun and informative. When not working, you'll find Steve playing in the mountains, the ocean, or having fun around town. Steve, welcome to Alaska Uncovered. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Jenny. It's a pleasure.
Yeah. So I'd love to start by asking you the same thing that I ask all my guests, which is, how did you get to Alaska?
Awesome. Well, yeah. So in the summer of 2005, I came to Alaska as a tour guide working for a company called Trek America. And they were sending me all over North America for about 6 years doing small group camping and budget lodging trips. So I was traveling all over the lower 48, Canada, and Mexico year round. And the reward for doing a good job for them was they would send you to Alaska for the summer.
Cool.
So they sent me up. I did a trip from Seattle up through British Columbia and the Yukon into Alaska, and then back out through the Yukon to Skagway and take the ferry back to Seattle.
Oh, that's so fun. That was my...
Yes, very fun. It was amazing. So in light of our Matanuska Glacier discussion today, that was actually the second place I ever visited in Alaska. I came over the top of the world highway from Dawson City through Chicken. And my first night was in Tok at the campground out there. And they had a sourdough pancake toss. And I won the pancake toss.
Ooh, well done. First day in Alaska and you won that? That's impressive.
And I won the pancake toss and I was hooked.
That's awesome. Love it. Oh, man. So how long was that tour that you did from Seattle all the way up and back down? That must have been a pretty long tour.
26 days.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Fun. As long as the group
It was a great trip.
Pretty awesome.
The group was super fun. It was one of my best groups ever. We Aww. Were calling ourselves the Icebreakers because we were the first tour of the summer. And so just about everywhere we were going, lakes were still frozen and businesses were just opening. And it was that early season in the Yukon and Alaska, which is now one of my favorite times of year. Because it seems like, you know, April, May, early June, there's a lot of sunshine.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really nice.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. So did you just stay after the pancake experience? Was that it? You were all in, or was there a little moving around?
So I had to go back down. I had to go back down to the lower 48, and they sent me back up again in the summer of 2007. And I stayed from the summer of 2007. After the summer of 2007, I drove my car back to California. I grew up near Los Angeles.
Okay.
And brought my car back up here in October, and I've been here ever since.
That's awesome. Love it. So Tell me a little bit about how and why you started doing tours to Matanuska Glacier specifically. So your company offers lots of different tours. So why Matanuska Glacier? Like, how did that happen that you started doing that?
Yeah, well, so that very first trip, we camped at Tok, and then the second night we camped at the toe of the Matanuska Glacier. You used to be able to camp at the entrance there.
Oh, cool.
And so my company would come and camp at the group site, which was sitting there looking over the glacier. And we would book tours with local tour companies to go out ice climbing or hiking on the glacier. And so from the very first time I went there, I just saw how amazing it was.
Yeah.
And then fast forward, after working for various different wilderness outfits around Alaska, I started my own business. And mostly because I wanted to be home at night. I was kind of vagabonding for many years and didn't really have a solid base. And so I wanted to start to get into the day tour industry because I loved what I was doing, but I wanted to kind of also have that life, playing a softball league or a bowling league, you know, go to the movies, those kind of things.
Yep.
And so I started doing day tours, and you know, Matanuska Glacier was top of the list. So that's how I started. You know, glaciers are one of the top draws in Alaska for visitors.
Yep.
One of the things they're most interested in. And it's just an amazing drive out there through the Matanuska Valley. And it's just really beautiful day from Anchorage. Just makes a perfect day tour from Anchorage.
Yeah. That's awesome. So you already said, you know, what we know, which is that glaciers are one of the main things that people who come to Alaska really want to see and experience. And of course, there is a lot of glaciers. What makes Matanuska Glacier really special, and what makes it stand out maybe compared to some others?
Sure, that's a great question. Matanuska is the largest glacier that is accessible by road in Alaska. And you can get much closer to the glacier by road than you can on just about every other glacier in Alaska. And on top of that, it's a pretty good sized glacier. So it's about 27 miles long and about 4 miles wide. And another thing that makes it so special is, you know, it sits on the north end of the Chugach Mountains, and there's a rain shield there. And so the weather is usually really nice at the toe of the glacier. It has great weather, and it has great accessibility from Anchorage.
Yeah. Those are all really awesome things for sure. Yeah. Cool. So, Steve, could you talk a little bit? So I know you offer both summer and winter tours to the glacier. And by the way, I should mention, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you can see Matanuska Glacier from the highway and from the pullout there on the Glen Highway. But my understanding is that you cannot go out to and certainly not walk on the glacier unless you are on a tour with a guide. Is that correct?
Mostly correct, yes.
Okay.
So you can see the glacier from the road.
Yep.
And there's a really nice viewpoint that's a state recreation area.
Yep.
The Matanuska Glacier State Recreation Area. And I believe it's at about right about 1 mile 100 or 101 of the
Yeah,
Glen
that
Highway.
Sounds right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And so you can access the glacier on your own. The problem is that to use the road, you have to go through private property. So the road is private property to the glacier. And so if you want to go use the road access, you do have to take a tour.
Yeah.
You can't really get there on your own. It's you would have to raft and bushwhack, or in the wintertime, ski or snow machine in, and it's a very difficult trek on your own. The road makes it really nice.
Yeah.
The nice thing about the road too is that the folks there at at the Matanuska Glacier. They maintain the road and they maintain the pathways up to the glacier. So they're
Cool.
out there every day, and there's an added safety
Yep.
of having somebody who's there every day set the route for everyone.
Yep.
And
Cool.
yeah.
Okay. All right, cool. So going back to the summer and winter, can you talk a little bit first about when is summer, when is winter? Because there is a shoulder season where you don't offer tours in between, right?
There's a small time of year for about 1 month
Okay.
from the middle of April to the middle of May
Okay.
when the glacier is melting out. So
Yep.
in the wintertime, the lake in front of the glacier freezes and you can hike out on the lake ice.
Yep.
Well, that all starts to melt and become unstable. And then all of the moraine that is uncovered from the snow melt and ice melt gets really, really muddy,
Yeah.
and it's just really difficult and unsafe to hike
Yep.
from the toe of the glacier, from the terminal moraine out to the toe. So
That makes
about
sense.
mid-May is when it opens back up. It's different every year.
Yeah.
Some years it's stable earlier, some years a little bit later, but usually by mid-May it's safe again to walk out there. And then it goes through again till April. So
Okay.
summertime, I would consider mid-May to mid-September. We officially call it the end of October. That's because in November is when you start to get access to the crevasses and the ice caves that become stable in the winter.
Yep.
So in the summertime, we're hiking out there and we have our ice cleats on and we're walking on the glacier ice.
Yep.
In the wintertime, we're walking on snow-covered trails on a combination of the frozen glacier lake and also the moraine. What the difference is that in the wintertime, the melt water from the glacier seeps up and freezes in all the crevasses and ice caves. And the most of the toe of the glacier becomes kind of set in place by the ice.
Yep.
And you can access more safely areas that you couldn't access in the summertime. In the summertime, there might be a crevasse that has, a huge drop in it that if you fell into would be a life or death situation. And in
Yeah.
wintertime, that'll fill up with water and freeze, and you'll have a solid sheet of ice underneath you that you can explore that area.
Yeah, that makes sense. And is there a weird time in the fall where you don't do tours during the transition also, or are you able to just keep the summer route until the winter one is available?
We're able to just continue the tour.
Cool.
About the first couple of heavy snowfalls is when it changes.
Okay.
And so that's different every year a little bit too. But what needs to happen is there is kind of about a 2 week period, I would say, from the middle of October to the end of October, where sometimes the lake hasn't quite frozen solid enough and you're still walking on a snow-covered trail on the summer route.
Yep.
So there's a kind of a little bit of a 2 week window there at the end of October where we're still operating tours, but the access might be a little different than it is
Yeah.
in either summer or winter.
That's really cool. And that's good to know because sometimes if people are visiting in those seasons that aren't quite summer or quite winter, there are things sometimes that operate year round that aren't available. So that is really
Yeah.
cool that you guys have your tours all through the fall. That's awesome.
Yeah, we love the shoulder seasons in the
Yeah.
wintertime.
Yeah.
There's noticeably less people here, and so you can
Yep.
go and see all of the beauty of Alaska with just a few less people by your side. I mean, Alaska's not really crowded by any standards, but
Yeah.
still in the fall and the wintertime, it feels even a little bit more like it's your own private experience.
Yeah, for sure. That's cool. One thing that I often tell people, and so for those of you listening who may be tired of hearing me say this, but I will say it again, is that one of the really cool benefits of taking any kind of a tour when you're in Alaska is that you can go to places that aren't, that you can't get to on a road. And you know, that's true if it's hiking or kayaking or a boat tour or flight scene. And if you're specifically on a tour where you're walking like this one, there's such a cool, you know, you're with a smaller group and there really is that kind of like, whoa, I am like in Alaska. This is rad. Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. That's one of our specialties is small groups. So we have a maximum of 6 guests in each group on the glacier.
Perfect.
So you get a real up close and personal experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there anything, so, you know, I suppose it's obvious that if someone is coming in the summer, then they should do a summer tour. And if they're coming in the winter, they should do a winter tour. But are there any other factors, you know, like if someone was really wanting to plan their trip around glaciers, like, are there any thoughts you have for folks about deciding which time of year might be best for them?
Sure. For glaciers specifically, you know, I do prefer at the Matanuska Glacier specifically, I should say, I do prefer the experience on the winter tour because being able to access those crevasses and get in and on good years, there's some really cool ice caves.
Yeah.
In the summertime, one of the best times though is to come in June. So in early June is when the blue pool season is on the Matanuska Glacier. So what happens is as the snow melts on the glacier from the winter, it starts to drain into the valleys of ice and it starts to form little lakes basically on top of the ice. And they're just this amazing glacier blue color. And by the time that July rolls around, a lot of those have kind of burrowed their way down into the ice and melted into all the drainage tunnels that there's just a network of tunnels of drain water through a glacier. And so, you know, some of them stay longer, different years. If you have a helicopter, you can usually access them year round. But to be able to walk from the toe, the best time to access blue pools is in early June.
Cool. That's an awesome tip. Good to know. Okay. While we're talking about summer, are there bugs on Matanuska Glacier?
So that's one of the nice things too. It's actually really kind of bug free.
Yeah.
You know, the mosquito season in Alaska is, you know, late May and June into July. And so that's mosquito season. And then at the end of the summer, you get more no-see-ums. But on the glacier, glaciers have what's called a katabatic wind. And a katabatic wind is a wind that's formed from a pressure difference. The ice of the glacier cools the air above it. And that cool air then is more dense and heavier than the warmer air around it. And so it tends to get pulled by gravity down towards the bottom of the glacier, and it rushes down the face of the glacier and comes off the face there. So there's usually a cold wind coming down the face, which mosquitoes don't really like.
Yeah.
And then the wind, once it gets down to off the ice, the earth will warm it up again. And then that air will rise again. And there's generally, it's called a blue hole. At the end of glaciers, there tends to be an area where there's a lot less precipitation because of this up pressure of wind from the toe of the glacier. So there tends to usually be nicer weather as far as, you know, no rain or snow at the toes of the glaciers compared to other areas around them.
Cool. Yeah. That when you can feel that kind of cooler wind too, that is such a cool feeling on a glacier. You're like, whoa, this is like its own weather system. And I didn't know that about the kind of updraft at the toe. That's really cool.
Yeah. And it also, it, it chews the bugs away. And there's
Yes.
usually not, you know, the areas that mosquitoes and bugs generally kind of like are not really prevalent at the toe of a glacier. There's not a lot
Yeah.
of vegetation.
Yep.
Vegetation's still starting to grow in, and so they're generally bug free out there at the Matanuska Glacier, and generally rain free. You
That
know, a
right
lot of
there is a
days.
reason to love it.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of days it'll be pouring down rain in Anchorage, and people will call us to ask us if we're gonna cancel, and we say, "Oh no, it's, I mean, it's bright and sunny out at the glacier."
And they probably
There's
don't
some
believe
weather
you.
cams. Yeah. There's some weather cams out there. There's a the system stops about Chicoloon. So
Okay.
Chicoloon is about 80 miles east northeast of Anchorage. And weather patterns generally kind of come in the Cook Inlet and Knik Arm and push up the valley there to about Chicoloon. And after Chicoloon, there's Glacier View area, which Glacier View area tends to experience more high pressure
Yeah.
systems and a lot less rain.
Fabulous. That's great. Okay, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about some more logistics related to Matanuska Glacier with Steve and hear some of his favorite things in Anchorage. So, we'll be right back. Hi everyone, Jenny here. I hope you're enjoying this episode so far. If you're listening in real time in April 2024 and you're planning to travel to Alaska this summer, it's not too late. Let me help you make that dream trip come true through one of my planning sessions or even planning the whole thing for you if you'd like more help. Follow the link in the show notes that's just below the tip jar to book a session with me. Want to do it on your own? That's also awesome. Take my free 4-question quiz to get an itinerary suggestion based on your travel style and your personal dreams for your trip. The link to that is in the show notes too. All right, back to the show. And we are back with Steve Busby from Greatland Adventures, and we are talking today about Matanuska Glacier and how to get out there and explore the glacier almost year round, except for breakup. So that's what we're talking about today. So, Steve, I would love to get into like sort of a series of short logistical questions. I have learned that those are often some of the things people have like the biggest questions about. So, first of all, let's talk about transportation from Anchorage. So what transportation does your do your tours include?
So our tours include transportation with hotel pickup in Anchorage and hotel drop off. A lot of people now are staying at vacation rentals, you know, Airbnbs and VRBOs, and we will pick up at those if we have a private group. We do private tours as well, so you can book a tour with just your own group. In that case, we'll pick up at a vacation rental. But for folks that are on our public tour and are staying at a vacation rental, they can meet us at our office in Midtown Anchorage.
Oh,
We're
cool.
on 36th Avenue and between Old Seward and New Seward Highway.
Nice.
Yeah, so we offer transportation. Our tours also include lunch. There's a
Nice.
local eatery out there that overlooks the glacier that has a really amazing view. And it's a really nice way to cap off the day of hiking.
Oh.
And, you know, a lot of our visitors have never seen a glacier or walked on a glacier, and it's really a special experience. And then to go
Yeah.
and be able to sit and have lunch and think about it and have a beer or a drink, and while you're looking at the glacier, it just makes a real nice finish to the experience.
Yeah.
You also can drive on your own to the glacier. So it's
Okay.
about it's 101 miles, I believe, from Anchorage. There is road access. Most days, the road's pretty well maintained. It is a windy, mountainous road through the
Yeah.
Matanuska Valley. Some days, it's not so well maintained, and it can be difficult for people who aren't experienced with
Yeah.
winter driving. But for people who are experienced with winter driving, it's pretty accessible year-round, in a car with good winter tires. So that's one thing I would recommend. If you are going to come out and plan on visiting the Matanuska Glacier and driving out there on your own, really investigate the car that you're going to renting and what the tires are. Yes. I think that the tires in the wintertime are more important than four-wheel drive. So, you know, it's
totally
four-wheel drive.
Agree.
It's not four-wheel brake.
Yeah.
You know?
I totally agree with you about the tires. Oh man.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a really big deal. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So how hard is the hike? And I know I'm asking that question the way people often ask me, and I find that really hard to answer because it depends on if this is your first hike ever or if you hike all the time. But what are what do you usually tell people about, like, how far are you walking or how much time or how steep is it?
That's a great question. We get that a lot. And so generally year round, the hike on our tour, and we like to actually, we can just call it a walk. Sometimes people get that name. People who aren't experienced hikers get the word hike in their mind and there's negative connotations there. We're really just walking in a beautiful area, you know?
Yeah.
So it's 3 to 4 miles, depending on the trail at that particular time. It's mostly flat. So there's no big uphill or downhill.
Yeah.
It's mostly flat. There's some small undulations. In the summertime, you're walking on ice. So, you know, you're not walking as fast as you would on say, a smooth trail.
Yeah.
But we're stopping a lot. So we're out on the glacier for about 2 hours. And I would say about 45 minutes of that is actual when you're walking. The rest is stopping, taking pictures, giving narration, talking about glaciology and what glaciers are and how they behave, and also just the natural flora and fauna and geology of the area. So there's a lot of interpretation that goes along, and of course a lot of stopping for photos. There's the glacier lends itself really well to selfies and, you know, social media and posting with that glacier blue ice, you know, that's so unique. So we make sure that the guests have a lot of time to take pictures during the walk.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And then I would say one more thing. Oops, sorry.
No,
sorry. One more thing there is what we do tell. So we say, we tell guests who are interested or, you know, wondering if they're going to be able to do it or not. We say, if you can comfortably walk 4 miles on a dirt trail, then you'll be fine on the tour. And again, it's not a strenuous walk. We're not walking very fast. We're walking very slowly.
Yep.
We're stopping a lot for photos.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes. That is awesome. That is a great explanation of it, because it's, you know, it is just a hard question to answer because you don't know what people's background is and experience and what they're comfortable with. So that sounds like a really good way to describe it. Okay, so speaking of photos, Steve, what if I drop my phone? Has that ever happened?
I mean,
maybe that's right. Has anyone dropped their phone in a blue pool or in a glacier?
So I have never seen a phone dropped. I'm guaranteed it has happened out there.
It must have.
It's never happened on one of my groups. We definitely have lost a few of the ice cleats that we use. So we have ice cleats that pull over your feet. And at the end of the walk in the summertime, we'll stop by a little area of water on a glacier and we'll kind of rinse them off. Because they, in the summertime, they'll tend to get some glacier mud on them from the rock flour, the glacial silt. And we'll wash that off. And then we've dropped a few in those. But I haven't heard anybody break dropping their phone. But what does happen is your phone in the wintertime, especially if you have an iPhone, it will stop working very quickly in the cold.
Yeah.
And so it's a pretty cool experience to go out there in the really deep cold. But a lot of people aren't used to taking their phones out with them at that cold temperature. And then
Yeah.
people will be disappointed when their phone stops working really quickly and they haven't taken all the photos they want.
Yeah.
So we give out tan warmers for people to put in their pockets and put their phone in their pocket
That's a
with their
great
hand
idea.
warmer. And then
Yeah.
you just want to pull the phone out as quickly as possible to get your photos and then put it back in there.
Yeah.
Because once the temperature trigger kicks in, it'll start to shut off more quickly
Yeah.
each time.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great trick. I love it. Hand warmers for the phone. Love it.
Yes.
Okay. So what about bathrooms? So I should tell you that we've had several episodes of this podcast where we've talked in depth about backcountry peeing, outhouses, things like that. So
Yes.
for folks who've listened to the podcast for a while, you might be like, oh, here we go again, talking about the bathroom. But it's important, right? It's a question that people have. So what are the options? Can you pee on a glacier? How do you pee on a glacier? Do you have to hold it till you get to an outhouse? Tell me how that works.
That's a great question. Yeah. So on our tour, we do everything we can in our power to make sure that people don't have to go to the bathroom on the glacier. So there's restrooms on the restroom stop on the way up there, and there's restroom facilities at the entrance.
Okay.
After that, though, there are no restroom facilities. So we definitely discourage going to the bathroom on the glacier, but you absolutely can if you have to. And I will say that I've had to multiple times over the years, you know, when nature calls.
Yeah.
Nothing stopping it. So,
yeah.
You know, we carry emergency toilet kits.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, it's an embarrassing thing to go to your guide and say, you know, I have to go number two, not number one, number two.
Yep.
And then you just got to find somewhere. There's always a little ridge or something that you can go get some privacy and then do your business. And the good thing about glaciers is that they basically chew the landscape up. They're major forces of erosion.
Yep.
And so, you know, as long as you go in an area that is away from the main kind of trail, trail systems out there, people probably aren't even going to notice it. And then it's probably going to be gone really quickly.
Yeah.
So, yep, you can definitely go out there. We try not to, obviously. We give people opportunities to go before they go out there.
Yep.
So hopefully you can hold it for about 2 hours.
Yep.
That's about the length of time that you need to hold it. But when you can't, we've got you covered.
Well, that is wonderful that you do, and wonderful that you're game to explain that. Thanks, Steve. All right, cool. So last thing kind of in this category is, I know you said that the weather there is often a lot better than the surrounding area, but what if it rains? Should I panic?
No. So I personally love being out in the rain. So, you know, that's another thing. There's no such thing. The old saying in Alaska, or, you know, quote unquote bad weather places, is there's no such thing as bad weather. There's just inappropriate clothing.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you have good waterproof rain suit and good waterproof shoes, it can be a really cool experience to be out in the rain, because a lot of times then you're going to be even more of a personalized experience because a lot less people are going to be out there.
Yeah.
But I've seen this time and time again over the years with guiding, is that I feel like the universe kind of takes care of you when you push through the elements.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course we don't want to be unsafe or anything, but when you still go and you still do the thing that you were going to do and you push through maybe some inclement weather, something cool usually happens, like a unique wildlife sighting, or the clouds break in this magical moment with a rainbow for 5 minutes and then it's gone and only you saw it, type of stuff. So, you know, I say definitely if you're coming to Alaska, especially in the summer, good rain gear is essential, and not just a rain jacket. You know, you need rain pants and you need waterproof shoes that when the water runs down your rain suit, that you're not going to have, your feet are going to be soaked. So
Yep.
good waterproof shoes, good waterproof pants, and a good waterproof jacket. And then you don't really have to worry about it. And again, I will say though, it rarely rains out there. It is a
Yeah.
very dry climate at
That
the
is
toe of the
awesome.
glacier. And
Yeah.
it's a rare day, honestly. You know, we're out there over 300 days a year.
Yep.
It's a rare day when we're hiking the whole day in the rain, and maybe once a year. You know, there might be some sprinkles here or there, but it's a rare day where it's just raining the whole time.
That's cool. Is there anything else that people should make sure to bring? I just realized I meant to ask that and didn't. When you were talking about rain
Absolutely.
gear and good footwear, anything else that you'd recommend
Yes.
people have for going out to the glacier?
Yes. So sunglasses
Oh, yeah.
is number one. Especially if it's sunny, the snow is reflecting off all the white everywhere, and it can give you snow blindness, to where all the light kind of scorches your eyeballs.
Yeah.
And you're temporarily blind. Your sight comes back, but definitely sunglasses, I would say, is number one. I would say number two is at least a light pair of something on your hands. You know, in the wintertime, obviously, we're going to be wearing mittens or warmer gloves because it's too cold. But in the summertime, just even a little pair of it could be gardening gloves or something to put on your hands in case you have a little misstep or something, have to put your hand down. The ice can be kind of jagged, and usually aren't going to really like cut yourself, but it's uncomfortable to have to put your bare hand down on ice. So some sort of glove and sunglasses. And then, if you have a more of a boot style shoe, we make it work when people have regular shoes or trail runners, but, and sometimes we'll bring rain boots for people who are really unprepared. You can hike in rain boots, but at least a really sturdy hiking boot that has a sturdy sole that you're not going to feel the unevenness of the ice so much underneath your feet when you're walking in the summertime. That would be another recommendation. And then, I think just your spirit of adventure anywhere you go, you know.
Love it. And then for winter, would you recommend that people wear like snow boots, or would you still recommend hiking boots for winter?
Yeah,
Or it
snow
doesn't
boots.
matter? Okay.
Yeah, so the way I describe it for the winter is that most people kind of understand the best is dress like you're going to go skiing.
Yeah.
And so, most people have some sort of experience with kind of sledding or skiing or something in the mountains, and that's basically exactly what you want to
Yep.
dress like in the wintertime. You want to wear layers, and you especially thermal layers.
Yep.
Thermal tops and bottoms, snow pants, a snow jacket, and I like mittens personally. They keep your hands warmer than fingered
Yes.
gloves.
Yep.
But so we do rent because inevitably folks come up here. A lot of times it's the people up here for business, and they don't want to pack a bunch of extra stuff. They live in a warm climate, and they don't want to trudge their bag all the way up here. And so we offer gear rental from head
Oh,
to
that's
toe.
great.
So yeah, we have minus 50 to minus 80 rated winter boots. We have
Nice.
snow bibs and hooded snow parkas, mittens, and a warm hat and hand warmers. And
Awesome.
so if you do happen to be here or just don't want to bring all your stuff, at least while you're with us on a tour, you're going to stay warm.
That's awesome. Great tips. Okay. All right, Steve, what's your favorite month in Anchorage? Or you could answer for the
Yeah.
glacier.
So
Whichever.
I think that's probably both the same. I think it's March.
Yeah.
I think March is my favorite time. I do like snow sports, and
Yep.
I do like the weather. The sun is getting brighter and brighter and higher in the sky every day. And You kind of feel your body awakening from the slumber of winter.
Yeah.
And I call it being high on sunshine,
Yeah.
you know?
I love that.
So, you know, everybody's walking around and feeling great, and it's beautiful. And there's all sorts of great winter snow recreation activities in with lots of light and not quite as cold a temperatures usually as the dead of winter.
Yeah.
So I would say March is, and I love the Ferrandi time of year. You know, it's just a festive time of year. It feels like everybody's kind of getting together and shaking off the cobwebs from the winter.
Yes.
And getting ready to enjoy all those longer days that are ahead.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. When I lived, I've never lived in Anchorage, but when I lived in Fairbanks, March and September were my favorite months there. Yeah.
Definitely.
March.
Yeah,
Same
I would
reason.
say September 2nd. Yeah.
Okay. What's your favorite restaurant in Anchorage? I know it's tough.
Yeah. Well, so I have to, I'm partial to Ginger on Fifth Avenue downtown.
Yeah.
When I first started my business, I was bartending at Ginger. My business wasn't supporting me year round. And so,
Yep.
you know, a lot more people visit in the summer than the winter. And so in the wintertime, for 5 years, I bartended at Ginger in the wintertime.
Awesome.
And I just have a lot of respect for the owners and the crew there. And I think that they always consistently have great drinks, great atmosphere, and great food.
Great suggestion. Love it. Okay. What's your favorite thing to do in Anchorage if it's your day off?
Yeah, I guess it depends on the time of year. I would
Yeah.
say as far as outdoor activities, what I'm usually doing if I'm doing some sort of outdoor activity is riding my fat tire bike on the trails around Anchorage.
Fun.
So yeah, year round, the trail system is great. And there's the group Single Track Advocates is a really great resource for people who like to bike. And there's just a really cool community of people that are out stomping down trails and keeping the trails open year round. And it's just a really great accessible activity year round and the single track trails around Anchorage.
That's awesome. Yeah, Anchorage is a great biking city.
I agree.
Yeah,
I'd say
and
the
year
second
round,
one.
amazing.
Yeah, I would say the second one is I like to go down in the summertime, sometimes in the spring and fall, but surf the Boar Tide on the Turnagain Arm.
Oh, cool.
There's a tidal wave that comes in and there's some pretty long sections it'll be surfable. They're kind of more down around the Girdwood area. But that's really fun to get out in the water. And I grew up surfing down in Southern California. So to kind of connect my roots of where I grew up and here and be out in the water and get that sensation of the ocean and, you know, the surge of the water, it just gives you kind of a sense of being small, so to speak. You know, you have to have a lot of respect and reverence for the ocean and for that water. And you're in the moment when you're out there. A lot of climbers talk about that too. You know, that feeling of being in the moment and not thinking about anything else but what you're doing right then. That's a really cool feeling.
Cool. Okay. So, Steve, before I let you go, can you tell everybody if somebody wants to go with Greatland Adventures out to Matanuska Glacier, whether it's winter or summer, how do they do that?
Well, they can find us online. It's www.greatlandadventures.com. We have live availability there for the Matanuska Glacier and for our other tours. They can give us a call at 907-980-8179. We have people staffing the phones. A lot of times it's me during the wintertime because I'm doing a lot of Northern Lights phone calls. But you can call that number and somebody, a local here, will answer the phone and help you get booked up. We also can be a great resource for people when they have a lot of these questions like that. It's nice to be able to call a company and actually have somebody pick up the phone.
Yeah,
Nowadays, a lot of
humans.
times you get a phone tree and a push 7 and then 4 and then 2 and you get transferred 3 times. So
Yeah.
we try to 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., 7 days a week, we try to answer the phone as soon as we can.
Awesome. And I will put both the link to book as well as the phone number in the show notes. So if you're looking to do this, you can find it right there.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And Steve, one other question about booking, that's another thing that I get a lot of questions about, is how far ahead of time do people need to book with you? Like, typically, when do tours fill up? How far ahead of time?
Definitely. So our busy season for the glacier is the Christmas holiday. So the week from just before Christmas through New Year's, I would say that you are going to want to book that week at least a month to 2 months ahead of time,
Okay.
especially the week between Christmas and New Year's. So
Yeah.
that will sell out a couple months ahead of time.
Yep.
And then also in around this time right now when we have the Fur Rondi Festival in Anchorage, I would say a month in advance. The rest of the year, the availability's pretty good, and you can use, we do get a lot of last minute bookings.
Okay.
So I mean, we do sell out certain days, but we also, we have flexibility and being able to accept a lot of last minute bookings. So
Cool. That's really good to know.
if people find themselves with looking for something to do tomorrow, for so to speak, we can usually find something for them to do last minute.
Nice. That's awesome. Well, Steve, thank you so much for joining me today and sharing all this wonderful information about Matanuska Glacier. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.